All right, and we are live. The Last Word with Lil Cognito, Ivantis, Ty Guy, Travis, fresh on that Thursday evening campfire. A lot of activity with these Guardian games, a lot of games being played and partner showcases and all the stuff that we're doing, and Travis is doing a bunch of things. But anyway, E, how you doing, man? How's the Cheetah going?
Cheetah's pretty good. Actually, ooh, been playing a little Destiny. I will tell you. I went to go log in because I was like, hey, Prophecy is going to be the dungeon this week. I went in, made my guide, recorded it, and streamed it.
Mm-hmm. Very good guide. What?
The opening of Prophecy, when you have to collect the motes and then you go to dunk.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the button to dunk. That tells you how out of Destiny I has been.
I remember that problem. I was like, yo, how do you do it?
What button does what in this game? How long has it been since I was like, I main this game? Maybe not.
Been away. Fair enough. It's allowed. You're allowed to flirt and see other people. This is an open relationship we have.
Yep. So, yeah. So played Prophecy Guide. Got that made on Monday. Nice. Showed a little bit of the Thaumaturge to my stream. Reviews also came Reviews also came out like middle of the day while I was streaming. Mm-hmm. And one of those where I landed in a different spot than a lot of other people. So it's kind of one of those that I didn't get that far enough into it to do a full review. So it's like, I wouldn't have just like thrown a half-ass one out there anyway, but it was one for me. There were mixed reviews, like it being like a 5 to a 9. I guess it's one of those that's kind of divisive. I was on the lower end for sure. 6-ish kind of thing for me, just because when I got into the combat, I showed some of stream, what was going on, and just kind of some of the story. And even when I read, this is one of those where it's like, it's interesting to have the perspective of like, all right, I know what thoughts in my mind, I know kind of where I would score it. And then you read the words of review, not the number, but you read the words of review and you're like, these words don't quite feel like they match the number at the bottom, which is always interesting. And that's, again, where everybody puts weight to story more important to you, is like the environmental setup, is combat not a big deal to you? Is like, and just kind of where you put your weight, and that's, you know, different people have different review styles and focuses for certain games, but it was just interesting to kind of go through like that process of being in my own little bubble again and kind of going, I don't know if I'm gonna, it's like I told you guys that I was struggling to continue to play it, and I tried one or two more times. I got about 7 or 8 hours in, and maybe 9, something like that, and there was one piece of combat that I like struggled with a little bit, and then I kind of figured out the mechanic and beat it, but it was more just, I don't know if I want to do 20 hours of this since I got 6, 7, 8, whatever it was. I was like, I don't know if I need to see the rest. And for me, it was like, I'm not going to do a review if I only go, you know, the first third, maybe half in. But to see the difference where other people landed was quite interesting to just kind of know where other people were.
Different strokes, man.
Do what? What did you say,
different
Trent?
Strokes, man.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's why the easiest thing I can say is it's just not a game for me. Like, if you want to focus on 1905 Warsaw with the, you know, issues of everything going on in that region at the time, and then, and the thing about it was, though, is like when I saw the previews, and it's the reason why I reached out, I was like, conceptually, it kind of sounded cool. Like, it would have hit with me a little bit more, but it just didn't come together for, I guess, what I thought I was hoping for. It was a weird one. But yeah, we'll talk about Destiny here in a little bit. And then I'm trying to just kind of be on top of everything else coming out this month. It's all a little bit on Snow Day, which is coming. That actually looks interesting. So you guys do a little bit of coverage on IGN. There's just a couple other, there's a lot of stuff that kind of keeps getting announced. I got to tell you, though, the one actually that I'm probably the most intrigued about, it's the Altars.
Yes. I thought it showed well.
The concept of having your world in this mobile space station on a planet kind of thing, but the way you managed it, but it still had full third person like exploration, and then the concept of one person voicing all the different personalities
and all timelines of yourself basically,
depending on what your decision is, depending on the character of that one.
Altars, it was at the Xbox partner show. They also at the Game Awards prior. That was its initial debut, but then a little bit more in depth at the partner showcase this week.
I didn't remember seeing it
before. I had the showcase on, but it was on like a second screen. I was doing something else, so I think I probably missed a little bit of that.
That one looked cool, and I know you guys previewed Unknown 9, I think, today. There's that like almost kind of noir. It's like stealth 3D game with kind of the cool like stylistic art. It was like the second trailer that was shown.
Yeah, I would describe it as like a third person action adventure. It's like
for what, you know, Unknown Nine? Oh yeah, that one. Yeah,
Unknown Nine.
No, I was thinking of the one that Pure was right after that. It was the the girls like with the cards, with the stealth 3D kind of one.
Oh yeah.
India, that one.
What?
I don't remember. I'm sure I'm getting confused, but I'm getting my games mixed up. You talking about
Unknown Nine is the one in India. Yeah.
Yeah, Unknown Nine is the one in India. Yeah,
I tweeted a bunch of them yesterday because I was live tweeting it for some reason. Where did it go? Sleight of Hand.
Oh, the horror joint.
Yeah. Not so horror-y. It was like the lady with like the black hair, and then but she had like the deck of cards. It was, what do they call it? It was a hard boiled third person stealth sim.
Yes.
It was right after Unknown.
Yes. Correct. Correct. I do remember.
And then you had like the Pied Piper animal game, which was in there. Yeah. The one I actually probably most pumped besides Altars is the first Berserker Kazan. It's like an anime Souls, and the way they did the art style, it looks like kind of a cool mesh. I like that one.
They got to fix that frame rate, though. They got to fix that frame rate.
It's not out yet.
That frame rate got to get. Don't be putting. Let me ask Travis this question. I've always wanted to know this, because Travis might know. We talked about it on RLP in the showcase. Like, when you have a partner showcase, who ultimately, I know the developer, sometimes they want to meet, you know, whether it be the window for presenting, but like, who signs off and says yes? And like, can someone reject it and be like, hey, you know what? That frame rate ain't there. Because I'm very curious. They have to know when there's a technical issue with whatever a preview is happening. So it's like, who gets the ultimate sign off? Is it the publisher? Or is it like, hey, we got to let them come in because they submitted this. They want to be a part of this.
The publisher would most likely have control over whether a game was ready to be shown, right? Because they're deciding the distribution method and they're saying, yeah, we don't think this is for Limelight yet. And I don't think that would be negotiated between the developer and the person hosting the show. The person hosting the show probably just wants to get as many cool and interesting games or high profile games out onto their show, show floor. But, I don't think anyone, developer, publisher, or the show hoster wants to show anything that isn't ready for Limelight, because that's bad for pretty much everyone.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. I'm surprised. I see it slip through a couple of these different showcases lately where some of the frame rates on some of these games ain't the greatest and it's a little noticeable. So I'm like, I wonder, you know, who signs off on them. But if the publisher may have control and say ultimately, you know, still put it out there, I guess.
They're probably just thinking it's good enough and it's a proof of concept. And
yeah.
I think historically people have been less crazy about that when you're showcasing a game because they're unfinished products. But not everybody is reasonable online. They expect, you know, you're going to show the game and it's going to be it. Absolutely perfect performance, but as somebody who plays a bunch of games that are not out yet, that is extremely rare. Usually optimization is the last thing do when you work on a game, which is why so many games come out and everything is good except for the performance and the optimization, because it's last on
that's day one patch, like week later kind of thing, seems to be more and more from what I'm doing a little
which
bit
is how
what
it
Travis
should
is
work
doing,
by the way.
Yeah,
which is why it's just how it should work, by the way, because you don't usually waste time optimizing a game if it's not in its final state or close to it, because that's a whole lot of work for things that might change, right? So
there was something even recently, I can't remember what game it was because it's like on the tip of my tongue. They actually, it was Alan Wake. I think they lowered the minimum requirements to play it. They kind of optimized it even more later for more people to play it. For Alan Wake 2, which I thought was kind of cool. So that's
common. Also, adding 60 FPS modes is common now, or adding performance modes and higher refresh rates and stuff like that. Even Destiny, we had a mid game refresh a couple years ago.
So that's been it, E.
Yeah, I mean, we just kind of covered a lot of it, but playing some games, doing some things, you know, videos doing all right, so not too shabby.
No doubt. Trav, what you been up to, Ming?
Yeah, previewing games and reviewing games. Reviewed the Outlast Trials last week. This week, I just got done finished reviewing Contra, the Galaga, Operation Galaga, the new Contra game made by the same team that made Contra 4.
Let's go.
Which I will be able to talk about on Monday.
Yes.
Can't talk about it now. And then my next review is the South Park game, South Park multiplayer game. So we'll see how that is. And then, I've been doing some previews too. Most I can't talk about because it's all GDC stuff for those who don't know, GDC, or the Game Developer Conference, happens in San Francisco every year in the month of March. And I'm getting ready to do a bunch of coverage for that, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Nice.
Always is. It's also just cool because GDC has sort of become E3 of sorts. Like, it's the only event really that I can remember where like almost every single developer still goes to it, and it's an in-person event. So it's kind of cool to feel the industry around, which is cool. And so I'm getting ready for that. And then, yeah, I previewed a game called Unknown 9 Awakening, which is the debut game from a brand new studio. It's a new IP. They created web comics and an audio drama, like kind of a scripted podcast, and a bunch of other books. There's like a novel trilogy as well.
Really?
That are sort of building out the universe, all just for this game series that they want to launch. And so the first one is this game Awakening. So it's a pretty ambitious project. It's definitely double A in terms of like their tech and scope of how things are and how they look. But I think it has potential. It's coming out this summer. Yeah. I did not get to play it, but they showed us an hour of gameplay, jumping around different levels and showing us different stuff that was in the game. And
Reflector, right? I think it's Reflector.
Reflector is the name of the studio, correct? And it's interesting. Any day we get to hear about a new IP is a good day in my book, because I think that's where the exciting stuff comes from. Frankly, I'm pretty stoked about it, and people can check out that preview.
Nice.
On IGN.com.
Nice. Like. Yeah, I thought it had potential. She had like the little time stopping powers. You see the abilities. I liked the setting. I believe that was the Indian game. I think that was when it was India. And I think
that was the one in India.
Yeah, that was
Bandai Namco is the publisher.
Yeah, like the little time stops and stuff like that.
Yeah, cool. It looked cool.
The main power isn't the time stops though. It's the fact that you can this thing called stepping, where you can basically jump out of your body and possess an enemy. When you possess the enemy, you have access to all of their abilities. So if they have special move sets or whatever, like you can possess this big like chonky enemy called the Bruiser, and then he's got like a ground pound, so you can use it to like destroy an explosive barrel or whatever and cause everybody else to explode. And you basically can like possess the enemies, and you can also chain them, so you can possess one and then jump from that guy's body to a different guy's body and like set up all these things that happen, and then when you jump back into your body they all happen at the same time, so you kind of see like your mayhem unfold. It's pretty interesting. I actually read the web comics and listened to part of the audio drama for the the preview as well.
They
are really working on the world building and stuff, which is cool. So that was fun.
Yeah, Teddy's a jump from this guy's body to a different guy's body. Oh my!
Yeah, sounds like my average weekend.
Yo, Teddy, yeah, man, love you, bro. You hit me with that goodness, that that Shinobi, that ninja goodness. Shout out to Travis for hooking him up and letting him know. Oh man, I was going crazy, geeking out, brother. This made my day when I saw that shipment. I was like, oh, okay,
cool. Yeah, he hasn't sent me anything. He's just not a very good friend.
He sent Ibonta
something, Og something. Yeah. Nothing for Papa Travis. Nothing at all.
of the three people I'm on this podcast, do you think you qualify as Papa?
He said he had delivered yours, Trav.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Speaking of jumping from one guy
jumping
to another,
from one
guy.
Body to another body, oh, yeah, body. Yeah, what is hand delivery?
This didn't take long to get out of hand. Oh. Sorry,
out of pocket.
Definitely out of pocket.
Out of pocket, out of hand.
Yeah, no. Teddy's great. He brings me swag every time he sees me, and I'm gonna see him in August when he attends my wedding. I'm gonna see all of you in August when you attend my wedding, sirs. Indeed. Oh, look at that! He's right there. Do you have every object any one of us has ever given you?
His entire apartment is off screen. He's like, I've got access to everything I need. Geeks, $2 super chat, hand delivered.
Yeah. He's like, how do you have things ready? I was like, because I already think about things.
Yeah, you have them all around you in a circle. It's very impressive.
Yeah, man. Other than that, it's pretty much the same things you guys are doing. I was really impressed with the partner showcase. I'm a big fan of the AA and the indie scene, and I feel like a lot of the creativity comes from these spaces. So I like it. I love what they on our scene. I think the Alters, Eve, and you are right there. I thought that was such a unique concept. I love what they're doing, and they got their little planetary.
Oh, the Alters.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I previewed the Alters months ago, so I know a bunch about that game. Yeah. So I can't talk about that one. Yeah. What do you guys want to know? I saw a bunch of that game.
You can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Oh, question. Man. All right. So they look like the exploration part with the planet stuff. So I'm getting, is it like when you're dealing with the multiple versions of yourself? Mm-hmm. Is it like base building? What's that component of the game? Like, because it looks cool. Yeah. It's like side to side,
so,
whatever.
So it's kind of like a survival game. I would. I don't know if you guys have played Pikmin, but it kind of reminds me of Pikmin because you know how in Pikmin you're stranded on a planet and you have the time counter that's going down until like you die if you don't find a way to get off. It's basically the same. You're on a planet and you have this big machine that is able to move forward. And the reason you need to move forward is because when the sun comes up, it's going to cook you. It's just going to kill everybody. And so you have a timer where you have to move forward every so often as the sun slowly rises on the planet. Wow. And so every act of the game, your machine reaches some sort of barrier that doesn't let you go forward anymore. And you have to get out of your ship and collect resources and do like a survival crafting part of the game in order to overcome whatever that obstacle is. Before whatever deadline you have. And so the deadlines are different and some areas you have to do faster or slower. Mm-hmm. And so you get out and you do like a collection survival stuff, which is mostly just solving puzzles. And then when you're inside, it's about strategically figuring out which alternate versions of yourself you're going to incubate so that you can get certain things. So you'll be like, oh, well, we're going to starve unless we have like a botanist who can grow things. So I'm going to go through my personal history and I'm going to look at the different threads where maybe I became a botanist and then I'm going to hatch that guy. And then you have to wait for an incubation period. And then when they're hatched, they become a player that you can tell to do things and interact with. But the problem is, every single other timeline except for yours, pretty much without question, has all of these really big psychological problems because of stuff that happened in their lives. And so like in one of them, you become a miner and you lose your arm and then you become addicted to like painkillers. And so like you're really unpredictable. And that version of you is like a problem right at the beginning. Like he's just like, all right, I know you're going to be like a big issue.
Oh, I love this. You have to
deal with that. And it's cool because you get to decide which order you're going to summon these guys in, and they interact with each other and get into fights and stuff. And I saw a really extensive demo on that game, and it's one of the coolest things. I think my headline was one of the weirdest games I've seen in recent years, and I'm super down. And,
I'm super.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you guys were saying Alters with an A. Now that I know you guys are saying Alters with an E, I'm like, yes, I know that game. I covered it a couple months ago.
Yeah, that I love weird. I love new ideas like this, so I got to support. And then my other second quirky one, and E called me, he called it, he knows me well, was Path of the Goddess. Path of the Goddess is, I didn't know what it was at first. It was just
action. It was hard to tell until they showed a little more. Like early, the first time I got a glimpse, I was like, I don't actually know what's happening.
But what's happening?
I think that was like maybe Game Awards trailer, and then this one they explained a little more.
So yeah, that's the Game Pass joint from Capcom, new IP. So basically, you're the protector of this, you know, this princess or whatever. And now we learn about the purifying mechanic when you go from, you know, area to area. But the thing that I like that they show you, if you saw the latest trailer, was that you get to a town and then you can use the villagers and stuff to set up to defend. And then there's a night cycle where there's waves attacking. So then it becomes a little turn-based. It's action-y and then it's turn-based. It looks cool. So it has my full attention. I thought it's really Japanese inspired. The art style is absolutely beautiful. It gets all my ninja-isms, samurai-isms, all of that, and just mystical Japanese mythology kind of energy. So I'm in all the way. So yeah, big fan so far. Those are the two that really. And Zao looked good again.
Oh, yeah. I gotta play that. I gotta listen to. Yeah. I gotta finish the X cast because they had main guy had they had him on this week for the interview.
Oh,
so I gotta listen to that.
Dope. Oh, that's dope.
Absolutely. Speaking of weird games, man, I will tell you, my early impressions of Pacific Drive when I didn't quite have the loop weren't great. But the more I keep thinking about that game, the more it just sits with me as a really, really good one. I see more people on Twitter like really having positive reviews and good times with it. And when I finished that game, I was just like grinning. I was like, this was just a cool, and that's why you said it. It's a unique, weird experience. I'm like, a survival.
Which game?
Pacific Drive. Survival station wagon. And I was like, when you go through the journey and you're like, cool. This is so weird, but so cool. I was like tinkering with a car and changing out tires. And it's like, it's a weird Venn diagram that's going to enjoy that game, but I'm glad it exists. That's kind of one of those. So. Very it's cool. A fun one.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of.
Cog, how about you? What have you been up to?
Yeah, just that.
Have you been living in Rebirth or?
Yeah, I started. I'm in the. What I realized with the open world, the grasslands. I didn't know if I was gonna. Okay, you jump in.
I was just gonna say I had 100% of the grasslands last week, and then have not played a second after. So, and I probably won't for hella long because I've got so much stuff
to cover. Yeah, it's just so much. But like, I wasn't sure I was gonna like the transition to open world from what they did prior. But actually, I do like it. Some of the reward, the questing is really cool. I do like what they're doing now. With the chocobos are adorable.
They look like it.
You do the thing and you whatever sign. And then like,
there's a reason they're the only thing that makes it in between every Final Fantasy game, regardless of the universe.
That's probably true.
I thought the way that they handle Pikachu. Yeah, exactly. That you know exactly what it is.
Gotta have a Pikachu.
Gotta have your Pikachu.
I thought they were a little too aggressive at first with the Queen's Blood game. Because I'm like, at first, I just wanted to play the Final Fantasy instead of.
But I've heard people get hooked.
But what happens is you start to learn the mechanics and the territorial aspect. And then I go to every town and look for the Queen's Blood players to like.
Now the hooks are in. Now you gotta beat them. Now you gotta get them all.
I'm into it now a bit. And like I said, the open world is now.
Tsujimon, Queen's Blood. Yeah, side games are apparently one of your main games.
If done well. Like most of the time, I usually avoid that stuff. But if done well, Tsujimon is my job. You already know.
I mean. Yeah, so that's my main game that I'm playing in my free time, and I think I'm getting pretty close to the end. It's starting to feel rappy uppy. Infinite Wealth, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta talk to you. Brother.
Good game.
So you're already back and forth, right? You're doing the back and forth.
I've been back and forth a few times, yeah.
Okay. And without spoiling too much, we gotta talk about, because I got questions that I wanna know when you got, but what you say, like you're like, what chapter if you had to guess? You have to guess.
14, maybe?
Oh, you're close. Oh, yeah. You're there. Oh, you're there. Okay.
No, I think there's 18 chapters, aren't there?
Yeah, I think it's like quite a few. Whatever. Did you finish up the Hawaiian portion? Yeah. As far as...
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, because that...
I think stuff is still going on there.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Gotcha. But you're doing at least the memories. Kiryu and the
Oh, yeah. The memories are long gone. I think I have all the memories in Kiryu. Yeah.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Stuff is definitely wrapping up, but that game is great, and I'm probably going to do New Game Plus on Legend difficulty because my characters are getting pretty high level. I heard when you start Legend difficulty, the opening area, the enemies are level 75, so I'm going to try to see if I can finish this playthrough at level 75 or more, and then go to Legend. That's the goal.
It ain't hilarious. This feels like some real urban hood game. Like when you walk around and you in a neighborhood you're not supposed to, and they got the purple crown in their head, and they sitting there, and they in areas where you know you got to get past. And
it's not a show, shithead.
Yeah, he's not a show. That's my check when they say that. Did you see Evan when they four deep in a car and they come and spin the block and pull up?
Dude, the car one is so funny to me when they just roll through. Honestly, the idea of doing a turn-based instanced RPG where you like you run into random encounters makes absolutely no sense in an urban setting. Like there's just mobs of people running around looking for a fight at all times, but it's so Japanese that it just works. So yeah. I'm enjoying it, man. It's a really, really fun game.
Yeah, and other than that, playing a lot of this other game called Destiny.
What?
Playing a lot of it.
Okay. I'm actually playing Destiny 2, I'll be honest. That's the reason I was late. I was
supposed to Destiny 1. You were in a Crucible match, that's why you were late?
Yeah.
All right.
I got to talk about Crucible.
I'm not putting down the controller during a Crucible match. By the way, can we just kick off with what the heck's going on with Crucible? Have you guys played Crucible?
Well, I've only played Supremacy, which is the one thing that is not affected by the patch right now because that's part of Guardian game, so I've been going back and forth. But the Supremacy node is the only thing that's not. But I haven't played the other, so I don't know.
I'm sitting there thinking I'm in the new meta. And I'm playing it, and I'm like, what has changed? I'm still killing.
Nothing's changed.
I'm like, what? I didn't see any. Yeah. I thought I was bugging out. I'm like, go ahead, Trav, because I'm curious. Like,
yeah, that's what I was going to say is, like, I'm surprised how little the meta has changed. It seems like everybody's still using submachine guns and, you know, the like. And then also, I have not been in a single match that has not had a whole bunch of people drop out, like, as soon as the level starts.
I've
like, basically, as soon as they fall behind, like, if you fall behind even a little bit, your team is gone, and you're sitting there with two people, which then means that the matches take hella long because there's fewer people to kill, and so you're just getting farmed for kills, and then it kind of punishes you for sticking around, and I'm like, the actual mechanics don't feel too bad. They kind of feel samey. Like, I feel like my existing loadout was working great, which is a little weird because considering I haven't really played Crucible in so long. I will say the quitting thing is really bizarre. I did see Vigilant Swing. A lot of people are using that in Crucible.
Vigilance is outside. Okay.
I literally just saw. But yeah,
no mercy in Supremacy is a mistake for sure, especially with the quit rates.
Right.
It's wild.
I noticed the matchmaking was definitely much longer. So the population is low because
I think everybody's busy with other stuff right now because they put Guardian Games all over the directory.
We'll get to that. So I figure let's start with the PvP first, you know what I'm saying? But that was the first thing. So shout out to them for letting us know in the patch notes that the matchmaking, the new meta is not part of it. Did you try the new what is it? The wave frame? Because I got the God roll. The arc shot.
The hullabaloo?
The hullabaloo. I want to try it in PvP because I'm still not a fan of this archetype in PvE.
So wave frames in PvP? No. Yeah, the trace rifles in PvP, I've never, except for Laser Tag Weekend, I've never really been a fan of.
No, he's talking about the wave frame grenade launcher. It's a heavy wave frame grenade launcher. So it's the damage that travels across the ground. We only have one.
I got that after the first mission, but I think I just dismantled it because I thought it was just a grenade launcher.
Yeah, it's the new joint. It's like the only second archetype. Whoops. So we blame you. It looks like an Edge Transit in silver.
Yeah. That's literally, I thought, I was like, oh, this is like a reskinned Edge Transit, and I just deleted it. I didn't even look at it.
The Edge Transit meme pop up once, so I saw it. I was like, oh, yep, that is that. No, it's...
No, literally, I didn't see that meme, and I thought it was an Edge Transit. So, like, actually... I'm like, I'll just delete this.
So I can't. It's weird. Like, it has a unique combination of Volt Shot and Chain Reaction. Mm-hmm. Problem with Volt Shot is you have to reload, and you're talking about a grenade launcher. That's not exactly optimal. Yeah, it's not going to be a fast reload that you get a Volt Shot, which then maybe. But the other issue is, like, how often am I ever trying to use a heavy to clear miners, which is what you're typically looking at? And then you're sitting there going, I have my primaries for this. Maybe I've got, you know, a fusion rifle to clear up some mid-level guys. Heavy's got to be for the big stuff. So it's weird. So unless it's some dude with his feet planted on the floor, we're just trying to cook the ground. I haven't done a damage test like that, but it would depend on the enemy. Because, you know, it's like, even if it's a wizard and they kind of hover, you could probably still get the wave to hit him kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to be anything that's that exciting. I have, I got like a couple different roles that might be okay. So it's like, I'll play through and think about it. The title has a chance for repulsor brace and destabilizing rounds for a combo. So I would to kind of have that for a void SMG, since, like, outside of funnel web, I haven't had a, you know, really lean into the void SMG kind of thing.
I'll jump in. Cause that was my thing. I had high hopes for it because obviously Waveframe's got the 30% or whatever it is buff. Yeah. You know, clearly they wanted to make this a big showcase item. One of the showcase items for, Guardian Games outside of the hoverboards. We're going to get to them hoverboards. We're going to get to that. But as far as this, I have to go in and I'm just like, I'm not really feeling this because at the end of the day, if a boss is elevated or you fight like a Vex Mind or something like that, that thing's useless. And then I was like, well, maybe it's PvP, but then three geeks are saying, hey, it's not even that great in PvP.
I mean,
but
just use a special one at that point that you could probably get the same option out of.
Yeah, use the forbearance in that spot. I'm not going to use that joint. But other than that, I want to shout out Taraxipros, the Strand, that came back.
Last year, yeah. It's fine.
It's really good. It was good back then. It's even better now. It's sick in PvP. It's sick in PvE if you get the explosive head.
I'll give a shout out to Vigilant Swing.
Oh,
actually
nice.
Great. Now.
Yeah, Vigilance is nice.
It kind of hits like an auto rifle, weirdly.
Makes sense how fast it's a 5-burst.
Yeah, they changed the deterministic pattern on that. I would like that. And it's obviously some sick rolls with thing. But I'll go in real quick with my experience. I've always liked Guardian games. My two favorite games events have always been the Dawning and Guardian games. And Guardian games for me...
Like baking those cookies?
I always like baking the cookies, you know what I'm saying? The end of the year.
Hate it.
Talking to grandma, making the cookies, getting the thing. You know, for me, this one is, you know, we know what the spirit should be. And it seems like each year they're at least trying to make a Warlock versus Titans. And they're at least trying to get into the spirit of it, including with the matchmaking. But I do like that it showers you with loot. I like the little platforms you go and you light them up. And it's a very Olympic feel, right? So you got that. But doing the Nightfalls, I haven't done it in a while. You know what I'm saying? The competitive aspect. And then now realizing, thanks to your video, which was not explained by Bungie, is the way to get the higher score, because I'm trying to get in the top percent, because I need this hoverboard, is you need to emote before finishing champions where there was no indicator of any of this.
I mean, it's been that way for like 3 years. It's the same medal that was there before. I was streaming and somebody in Twitch was like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, yep, that's a thing. So then I did my guide about trying to get top 10%. The problem with that whole concept, and I tweeted at the Bungie team about this, or at the Destiny 2 team, so there's two issues. Each day it's been a different strike. So the first day I ran solo, I got about 232,000 by myself. So far, I have had a higher score by myself every time, because I've ever run with a group, no one knows what the hell they're doing, and they just shoot stuff and get no points. It's fun. But by myself, I got 232,000. Live Mondo, we had him on this a while ago. He does some really good solo stuff. He got like 250. I was like, okay. Kind of probably where you're going to be close to maxing out, 250, 260.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, the strike changed. First time I ran it, 307,000 or something like that.
Mm.
Not even like going over effort. Just the amount of champions, the amount of enemies, just the way it's set up, still within time, it was inverted spire. And then today, it was Disgrace.
Which one is that?
The old throwback in the Cosmodrome, or in the... Is that Cosmodrome? Yeah, in the Cosmodrome.
Who's the boss at the end? What type of...
Nevota, it's the witch within the, like...
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
The one where you go up, like that one?
Yep. Yeah, that was today's. And I ended up somewhere, by myself around 250, 260, something like that. Now, I could optimize more, because the idea is you want to emote for like half a second so it registers, and then you want to finish anything that is a major or a champion. You can do it to both. And the more of those you do it to, everyone's going to be like 5,000 points or 11,000 points on champions. It is a massive difference if you do or don't. Mm-hmm. So a couple things. One, on the shoot to score, it doesn't tell you what the top 10% threshold is at the time. You don't even know what you're aiming for. You're just like, maybe I'm 10%, maybe I'm 20. That should be in the game on the damn quest so you know what you're aiming for. Two, maybe yesterday's strike had the most points available. So the people who did it yesterday now set the bar higher than maybe the rest of the week if they rotate through a bunch of strikes.
It's might not even strike specific?
No. And it doesn't reset every day.
That's terrible design.
Yeah, that's bad.
So that's the big issue. No, that's the big issue. Like, can't see the number you're going for. So if you're under the percent, you're like, how close am I? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, you may not be able to get there, period. If you're like, oh, I just hit 240 and I feel like I was pretty optimal. 320,000 is what I got to go for? How's that? But it could be the different day that you're on. So I got it first day. And that's what I said in my video. It was like, if you don't do it this week, try and do it on Tuesday. So you're early in the week when it resets. And then
so
after
it's daily or it's weekly?
No, it's weekly for the quest, but the strike changes every day so far. So that way it's like, that's why I said the Wednesday one
Someday if you get unlucky, you're never going to beat the score with a different strike.
Yeah, you could.
Hasn't that been like that for, like, it was like that last year, wasn't it?
I thought it stayed the same strike for a week and it might have just been boring. But I also remember like the first year they did this, the recreational playlist was during the week. And then the competitive one was like on the weekend. And then maybe at some point they opened it up. But I don't remember the strike rotating every day because I don't remember this issue. Now, could be wrong.
Either way, it's terrible.
Yeah, well, terrible. Yeah, Prescott was like, he was top 10% on Tuesday. Now he's top 60%. That's the swing you can have. But, you know, there's no way of knowing which day is the good strike. So it's like, go in and see what you're kind of running. But some are going to be better than others. They're just not all equal. And those little multipliers are not perfect by any stretch.
Mm.
So it's weird. Like, that's kind of a miss.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help that we started. The first thing that people were doing were the first... I shot you guys a message. It lasted on stream. Oh. Might have been an hour, maybe, because I heard about it probably 30 minutes in. So what happened
Bungie feds got us.
They're fast. It was, you go to the Master Lost Sector, you load the Master Lost Sector, and you instantly get the rewards as soon as you load in. It was 1 second from it. So you would load in, get the rewards, come back out, and then that would also get you progress on your platinum medallion. So you just load in, load out, load in, load out, load in, load out. So I got a few extra prisms, but I didn't do it that many times. And then there was a point people in chat are saying, oh, it's gone. Like, it's not even on the radar. So then I loaded back to tower and back, gone. Like, they turned off the Lost Sector for a day.
So stupid.
It was gone in
so dumb.
30, 45 minutes. It was fast.
They got us. Well, so when you look, like, what would it drop? Like from...
I mean, it was two prisms, maybe one. It was a master, so you get a chance at one of the world drops, possibly with extra perks on it. I got some exotic web armor drops. So, I mean, three or four things from it, and it literally at the timer is 1 second. So it's just a weird trigger. You would load in, and this would, like, you know, locking loadout or whatever. You'd load in, done.
I blame Cactus because he had a video up. Like, get it.
Oh, him
down.
And Crossbow. No, him and Crossbow.
Y'all snitched. Y'all supposed to keep that low.
Yeah, I saw Scarrow put up a video, and then he probably had taken it down like 10 minutes later. Because, yeah, there were a couple of those that went up, and then as soon as they were useless.
Travis had an unrelated question that I'll jump in. I have a comment.
What's up?
My unrelated question is, did hunters get the ability to create holograms of themselves when I wasn't paying attention?
This land is covered. Here it comes.
No,
here
the point point spread is kind of crazy. Because when you go to the feature...
No, I'm actually asking a real question. I've been seeing in Crucible, people have like
the
static
strand.
Projections.
Yeah, it's the strand one. Yeah, they can.
Oh, yeah, you'd have
seen
that. When did that get into the game?
It's like when they dodge, they leave a projection of themselves that pings
on
the
radar.
When
did that get in the game, though? Did I just miss that ability altogether?
Yeah, it's like an extra aspect that got loaded in one of the previous seasons.
Yeah, they added an aspect. That
how long has that been in the game? It was an aspect.
I mean, at this point, I don't know, 6 months or something, I'm guessing. Maybe.
God damn. How did I miss that? Because
it wasn't this season. I feel like it was last season, probably. I feel like it's been there for
a bit. I saw that in Crucible a couple times, and I was like, am I lagging? Why are these characters standing here? I'm so confused. And then I was like, okay, this is definitely a power. I just didn't know this was in the game. What the hell?
It was
season. Dude, I'm a casual. Okay. I'm a straight casual now. I didn't even know about the powers in the game. Holy man,
that is hilarious.
Yeah, I feel like it got buffed at some point a little bit, lasts longer, pulls. Yeah, it's it'll mess with your radar kind of thing.
It's good. Like I if I were a hunter, I'd be using that for sure. Yeah. Also, they nerfed my Antaeus wards. Mm-hmm. I did not realize how bad the nerf is. I was useless on those things. Ooh. Useless. It's so bad now. Yeah. And what's crazy is Antaeus wards were an exotic that like you could be good at if your skill was just really high and if you made your build around, you know, closing distance and stuff like that. But it didn't really strike me as something that needed a nerf.
Oh,
like,
so many people hated
anybody,
those
like,
things.
Breaking the game with it.
No, I heard so much on like the PvP podcast and stuff like that. People absolutely hated that thing. There was like it was a pain point for so many PvP players. It was like I heard about it a lot between Twitter and the other places I listen to.
It's gotta just be streamers that are just being
I think
being
it's just
salty,
top,
right?
Top level PvP probably didn't like what it was capable of doing.
That's so silly. What a dumb reason.
That's what I think I heard.
It's so silly. Anyway, I used those for years and I never like anytime you pulled it off against somebody, it always felt like fair. It was like, all right, I hit you with your own grenade launcher. That's sick. It's rare. you have to pick up speed beforehand. It kind of had like a condition you had to meet, but nerfing it like that, man, it kind of has broken one of my builds, one of my main builds that I
change up too. So. I had to change up.
No more threadlings for you, sir.
Bro, they got me. Strandlocks, they got us. Come, we've been caught, guys. Come outside, come outside, guys. We've been caught. Yeah. So you know, look. Not only are they weaker, the health pool is seems to be bigger, so they're way less effective. And then I tried, because a lot of times, I'm going to be real with you, Eve. I feel the PvP community tends to be a little overreactive on a nerf to a weapon, right? So I'm like, all right, we heard about
SMGs. What about the Helldivers community? How are they doing on that nerf?
So a lot of times it'd be like, okay, a nerf happens. It's still good. It's just not as dominant as it was before, but it's still good. Oh, I felt that Immortal SMG target nerf.
Oh, yeah. Bro. Peacekeepers also got nerfed for Titans, so you'll see less of the SMGs there as well.
They're definitely promoting hitting the headshot play, that kind of thing. So I get it. And it's in the grand scheme of things, it's fair, you know, kind of thing. But it's going to be used to. I got to get a whole bunch of... What happened? What you laughing
at? Travis. He's like, they got to stop catering the 27 white dudes with USB microphones.
They messing.
Sadly, most of those guys probably actually have XLR microphones. I'll give them that. But other than that.
Yeah. He says as a white guy in front of his XLR SM7B.
Yeah. I was like, I'm the one with the USB. Yeah. You guys have the XLR.
Yeah, you're the one with the USB. No, I will say I am consistently confounded by Bungie's insistence on catering PvP to the, you know, top 1% of players. I get it, because they're very public, and so when they say things, lots of people hear it, and probably a lot of sheep follow it. But I legitimately feel like they've made the game significantly worse for the vast majority of people who enjoy Crucible. So
yeah,
well, just bummer. And I'm not just saying that because Antaeus, you guys know I felt this way for a while.
Yeah, felt that way for a while. You've been consistent with that. I think for me now, I just got to get in competitive to see what that is. Also to see what the new meta actually is. I want to give a shout out to two buffs, though, that people are sleeping on. Y'all got to get on any of them heal clip weapons. Good Lord. Bro, that killer times two on the adhorative, if you got the foresty looking pulse, that one. Or it's a world drop. It's called the Parabellum. It's a 900. RPM SMG.
Parabellum,
I think it's called.
Is that the new?
Why do I need two of them?
I'm telling you right now, it's synergistic with the weapon because you reload so much. Yeah. You're going to be procking heal. Shout out to Above. He got a good video I saw. I was like, yo, I'm telling you, heal clip is end game material now, because not only the reload heals you times two, it heals allies plus one. Shout out to 3Geeks. Get your Parabellum. Any heal clip weapons or meta, even what is it, the fusion emerite,
get them heal clip weapons, is that Iron Banner?
Parabellum is a world drop now. I believe it's a world drop. Go check that out. It's a solar 900.
Trying to figure out where it SMG comes from.
To get. The sourcing is weird. It's like, I think it's just a random world drop. But heal clip dynamics way. All right, 3Geeks, I hear you. I got an adhorative with heal clip and incandescent, and it's not coming out my lineup right now. So anyway, that's pretty much it. But let's get to the main event, why I'm here and why Destiny is saved. Hoverboard, y'all.
Skimmers. Gotta call them the right thing. They're skimmers. I'm only gonna call it a hoverboard. Are you kidding?
Bungie could do no wrong now. It's all forgiven.
Aren't skimmers those fake machines that you put your credit card into for them to steal your data?
They stole it from Lightfall, and I'm in. No. This is the cut content.
Travis said this probably should have been with Lightfall.
What I'm saying, I think that this was supposed to be with Lightfall, but doesn't it say, don't you guys find it, I'm not trying to be negative because I think they're cool, but don't you guys find it funny that in this game that has been accused of having one of the most predatory monetization models, that their new item in the game is literally called Skimmers. They're named after like a practice of like stealing
skimmers
money.
Like the pool. The Skimmers a pool cleaner.
The edition, is that what and it you is? Can get it right now for free.
Skimmer is like a device used to steal money. It's like literally what it's called.
Credit card skimmer.
I
was like, I've also heard of like a pool. Somebody else said it too. It's like, I've also heard of a pool skimmer. like those things that will go around.
Oh, like the things that clean your pool, like the Roombas,
or even just the,
I'll say I like when I see like an article that has the word skimmer in it. It's always about like, oh, somebody found that
makes sense.
You know, a skimmer in a 7-Eleven. Anyway, I'll let you guys talk about it. I just think it's to me that's very funny and kind of tone deaf that they put that in the game.
It's hilarious. The name is hilarious. Look, man, I will say this. I'm very impressed that they allowed this. This is one of the most game and design breaking.
Oh, I feel like it's good. Did you run it through Prophecy yet? Did you?
I saw the videos.
Oh, I did it today. Bro, I did my solo run. Just
grind and float past entire sections that the game was not meant to do this. Like, this is out of control, the things you do. Then let's be honest. It's really cool looking. The tricks, what is it? RB, you got that the high jump. It as a person who loves the Silver Surfer, this speaks to my sensibilities. It's just really cool. I'm impressed with the technical aspect of how they implement it.
Can we stop real quick? Yeah, can you explain why you like Silver Surfer? Because isn't he a genocidal maniac? I just want to clarify that he destroys planets, right?
He helps. He doesn't do it, right? He helps.
Yeah, he was responsible for genocide. He helped.
He's just following orders.
He was complicit.
He's just
a lot of people.
He's just following orders, dog. Yeah,
that's all he was doing. He was following orders.
I was trying to give. I was trying to give Cog one. Okay, leave me alone.
Do the alley oop. You threw me the alley oop.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. My dad made me watch buy that comic. He's like, yeah, you know, these kids are buying. You need something cosmic and deeper. And he made me. I'm like, these guys pontificating all these big words and genocide. I'm like, what the hell is going on in this book? I was like, I'm 9. I'm like, why can't I have Spider-Man? I can't. Like, my dad made me buy Silver Surfer. I'm like, ugh, all right. But I ended up loving the character. But yes, he had a very checkered past. But the idea of it is very cool. Very cool. So dope. And again, from a technical standpoint, the way it's implemented, so cool.
You do. You look cool on a hoverboard. I'm not going to lie, man.
Bro, can we say rest in peace? I know, shout out where my man at. It's Prescott, this does not involve you, being you had our talk on Twitter, but this really is going to damage Sparrow's long term. Sparrow gang, I don't know why. I mean, I know you love it, Prescott, but the majority, like, I don't see you ever going back to a Sparrow, the majority of the community after this. Like, it's bad. You could skip the whole raid section in what's the Frost one, the Beyond Light raid, where in the beginning you start off, and you got to go from the remember you got to stay
Deepstone
warm.
Crypt?
Deepstone Crypt. You could skip Crypt. The whole joint, go from pod to pod. The things people are doing, the Prophecy Dungeon, skip that whole Sparrow racing section.
I did that.
Yeah, this is Teaser Teddy doesn't think so. SRL is
never coming back. Now that skimmers exist, you're never getting that.
Yeah, it's
Skimmer Racing League.
Skimmer Racing League.
They could even keep the SRL. Skimmer Racing League.
But I was very impressed. I didn't think it was the thing I needed, and I was going to love it so much. It really does change.
No, that's one of the. I mean, you said it before the show. Break glass in case of emergency. Because what is the Skimmer in the Eververse themed after, sir?
Oh, Galahorn. When all hell fails loose, you gotta get that Galahorn.
The Galler Sparrow, whatever it's called. I'm trying to look up the name. Oh, and then the armor sets that go with it. How good do those look?
Beautiful.
Especially for you with your like red and gold and like that literally speaks to Cog.
Yes.
We can agree we're never gonna get SRL back.
Oh yeah.
I think it's over.
But do you think we'll ever get like an arena where you have to do tricks to get a score like Tony Hawk Pro Skater?
They should put a half pipe in the farm. Are you kidding?
I'm just saying, do you ever think we'll be listening to ska as we grind and do kickflips and try to meet a certain score threshold? Do you think we'll be collecting VHS tapes as we jump over half pipes?
If they do that would be fantastic, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. It would only work if Activision were still publishing Destiny. If that were the case,
you could do it then.
It'd be great. Yeah.
So we got to get. There's three ways to get it, right? There's the
get it medals. Yep.
But then it's the top 10%. Right, and then
none of us are gonna get,
which I thought was very interesting. Is that
none of us are gonna get that once? None of us are gonna satisfy that third requirement.
Get what?
the winning featured packages? Because none of us are going to win any of these featured events.
Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to win.
No, it's a whole team effort. And every time I check the featured event score, it's like Hunters, 27 million, Titans, 8 million, Warlocks, 12 million. Like the Hunters, it's not even close.
The Hunters are
not even close.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that the Hunters are the only ones still playing Destiny?
I knew this was coming. I'm waiting for this part.
No,
actual question.
No, I think it's because the Hunters probably still play a decent amount of PvP. So if they do like the game, they've probably been playing PvP and still do. Anybody who does more PvE type stuff, I would imagine, is an even spread of classes, because I think Hunters typically do lean more PvP as a class in general. So your Warlocks and your Titans
do, though.
I would say it tips to Hunters, but that would be a guess, because the people who still enjoy PvP and play it and now here for the sandbox stuff, people who've done Guardian games before and they're like, yeah, I got my skimmer once, it's fine, and then I'm out. Everybody else is still here for PvP, and that probably leans Hunters, but they're still probably doing just a little bit of everything else. That's a guess. I have no idea. I mean, I'm making it up.
I'm just pointing out the game is at its lowest recorded, you know, player base.
I can't.
And Hunters are smashing. And so I'm wondering, is there something about Hunters? Are they keeping this game alive secretly?
I mean, it could. I mean,
they might be the dedicated ones.
Yeah, it could be
possible.
I remember, what was the famous wrestler who we was there for games, GCX. I think it was right at the time we met Mola for the first time. It was the Big Show? I believe he was around.
Yeah, Big Show. Yeah.
He was popping off. I didn't know he was. I assumed he would be a Titan. He was Hunters of the most skilled class. I'm telling you, the Destiny's carried by. Like, he was going in his whole Hunter diatribe about why they are the definitive class and keep Destiny alive. I don't know, man. We got to see. But I know Titans are upset. Us Warlock Generation, we always in the middle. You know what I'm saying? We kind of just watch y'all, see how this thing's playing out. And we're used to Titan favoritism. So there's a part of me that's like really genuinely surprised by this, because I thought the Titans would take it. I'm like, all right, Titans playing. They might go all out on this one. But yeah, Hunters are outside, man. This is your time to showcase and show.
So it's like, so if you want the, because you get a white hoverboard, like common level item, and then to turn it to exotic, you have to do one of those three requirements. If you're a Hunter, just check the featured time, do one of the activities, and hang out, because you're going to get that winning package. And when you get the winning package, I had to ask what it was. It fills your bronze, fills your silver, so it fills your gold, and fills your platinum medals. It's worth 75 medal points.
Oh, wow.
Which thing is?
The winning package. So if, like, your class wins the event, and you participate in it, and you do one more, you get 75 medallions worth of just being part of it.
Yeah.
And we're over here getting a gold worth 3. If you get to even tier 3, that is.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, I have my own theory of why Hunters are trying so hard this year.
Oh, dear.
I think that they are convinced that if they win, Father Cade will come home with the milk finally. You know, like how people with like abandonment issues work extra hard because they think if they just were a little bit better, then their dad would come home. And the funny thing is,
and this has been 5 minutes
right.
with Travis.
Yes.
It's going to happen. We know that it's going to happen because of Final Shape. So canonically, it actually works.
It's a lot of them. Yeah. I mean,
so I hate to say it, but I am Team Hunter this year.
How are you Team Hunter? Dad's got to go.
I'm Team Hunter. I'm Team Hunter this year.
He's doing it. Sorry, he's doing it for Cade. He's doing it for Cade.
I'm switching to a Hunter to bring this podcast equilibrium.
I'm gonna switch to Hunter for Final Shape because I have to for my charity thing.
Oh, you're right. You gotta play Hunter.
Because you lost?
No, because I raised over 5,000. That was my stretch goal for 5,000. I was like, if I get to 5,000 raised total, I will play Hunter for Final Shape. And I'm like, because I got 5,700 total raised for Game to Give.
That's going to be weird to see.
And I'm going
to
be playing 100 full. So I think Into the Light will actually be a good time for me to really spend some time with my Hunter, figure out what's going on, and like kind of brush up on everything. Because I got to probably farm some exotics that I don't have, finish up probably a campaign at some point. Yeah. There's some stuff I haven't done with my Hunter. So it's going
to
be...
Pay attention to these Into the Light rumors. I think Tassie was talking about
possible weapons coming back.
Yeah, some black armor.
I mean, that's kind of the other in case of emergency thing. My brother wants black armory weapons to come back, and my brother gave up while ago. What was it? Blast Furnace, Hammerhead, True. What's the hand cannon that did, what was it? Kill Clip and Rampage.
Something Orchid.
Oh, Kindled Orchid.
His weapons were cool, but I feel the need to remind everybody that was a pretty bad season of Destiny.
The content was terrible.
Content was throw balls. But Blast Furnace is still one of my favorite pulse rifles. Now, if you got an origin trade on that, I'm like, get me back to my... that replaces my Go figure, because it doesn't seem like I'm ever going to get that. And I love the four.
New perk pool?
Yeah, because it was solar. So if you get like, give me an incandescent... What else do I want on there?
I thought it was kinetic.
Blast Furnace might have been kinetic. That's right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, make it something fun for me then, because kinetic is less entertaining.
When does it make you pledge which class you're going to be a part of?
I think literally when you logged in first.
Mm.
I think I don't. Or when you talk to Eva Levante. I saw it go like really fast, and I was like, well, I knew I'm Titan. I'm like, you pledge Titan. I'm like, cool. I don't quite know what triggered it though. The auto was solar. That's right. The pulse was kinetic. You're right.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I know I used to always tease you about your, what is it, the dad bod pulse rifles that I used to associate you with, that you tried and true. Blast Furnace was that was my favorite weapon of your loadout back in the day. Yeah. I used to love that weapon. Shout out to Teddy. He's like, that's a in case of emergency breakout Black Armory weapons. Yeah, I'm with it, man.
That's exactly what that is. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you see, of those weapons that I've heard about, but that's all speculation and rumors until they tell us. Like, if they're doing that as an influx to get more players back, they're pulling out a lot of stops to try and keep that population. I mean, right now, you can log in every week and get 700 free Bright Dust.
Mm-hmm.
They got hoverboards in the game. Mm-hmm. They got Galahorn hoverboard and Galahorn armor,
which I'm going to buy eventually.
That alone is trying to pull some people back in this week. Now, I don't know how many more for the next couple of weeks of Guardian games you're going to get. Like, once people kind of cash in with those, we'll see. But I checked the Steam numbers. Peaked at like 75K yesterday or like Tuesday or Wednesday. That's the highest it's been since a while.
And I will admit, I caught myself doing the Twitch stream 2-hour thing, which is part of one of the requirements for the diamond medal, which is again an easy way to farm engagement and excitement back to the game. Because it's easy. It's like I just had my phone open. And I was like playing Destiny, and I had somebody's Twitch stream going. I shout out to Wallow, whoever it was. And that was an easy diamond thing. And then they're doing the thing with, they all kind of.
Can somebody confirm to me how many points a diamond medallion is worth? I heard it was like 300. And if that's the case, you could literally watch 2 hours of a Twitch stream once a week, and that'd be 900 points, and you only need 1,200 for the hoverboard. So if you do a little bit of like playing over the course, 300, seeing that. Mm-hmm. So 300, 300, 300, you get one diamond medal a week. Right. If you get 900 points from those hours that you leave Twitch on in the background somewhere, you need 300 medallions, which is not much in the grand scheme of.
Or you can buy it with real money, is my understanding.
You can buy the Yallerhorn one with real money. That one's an Eververse. You can get the Yallerhorn Sparrow, and then there's also like an armor set as well sitting out there. So there's a way to buy a skimmer.
It's not a skimmer.
No, it is a skimmer. It's a Yallerhorn skimmer.
Straight buy it.
So you could just straight buy it, or you could spend dozens of hours of your life trying to get
you can literally just like go in on Tuesday, get the top 10% in the Nightfall. I had mine done really fast. Like,
easy. Yeah, just get the top 10% in the Nightfall. No problem there.
Most people,
so easy.
No,
so
I
easy.
Will tell you, if you go into matchmaking, most people don't know what the hell they're doing. So if you like try once early on in a week, you'll probably get it. That's all I'm saying. Most people won't.
To Travis's point, the blueberries keep killing the damn champions before I can emote. That's what I'm saying.
They suck.
Yeah, they're not coordinated with it. But I lost my thought. It was something else we're gonna take besides the engagement with the there is a shader locked behind that. Paywall.
I did see that. I think too.
I don't like shaders locked behind. It's like when you can't get anywhere else separately. That's part of this package, kind of thing. I've been noticing that. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, I mean, they got to give you a little extra.
Officially reviewing the final shape, by the way.
Oh, you got it.
Nice.
Oh, they need that. They need that. We need that brutal honesty on that. That's what I'm talking about.
They sent me the collector's edition. Bungie was
you
very
got the
nice.
Towel. You got the towel in the gram. Oh, you're not allowed to show that. All right, we'll talk offline. Just joking. That's what's up. No, but it's good that you get a chance to because I know if you put it through its paces, we're going to get that real on what it is. Yeah. So that's what's up. Salute to you on your life fall. He's very fair. He's very fair, y'all. Mm-hmm. Tease and Teddy, they're assumed date is April. That way,
so. Yeah, Into the Light, early April is what I heard. Teddy said probably April 9th by the weeks. So probably because what Guardian games will go on for 3 weeks, then you have Iron Banner, and then things will happen after that.
So. Into the Light is that new kind of halfway season.
Yeah, trying to get old and new players back in the game for some reason. You know,
for some reason.
Well, no, I know, like to lead into Final Shape, yes. But I've heard crazy rumors. I mean, people are shooting for the moon. People are like, oh, they're going to bring back the Red War campaign. I'm like, oh, man, dude, you are shooting way really too far with that one. Yeah, I was like, I don't. The hopes of what Into the Light is are way out there. I was like, I would not expect more. If they did anything, I could expect maybe one or two more of those like historic missions that they bring back, kind of for the timeline. I'm not expecting, here's a full campaign playthrough or campaign playthrough. Can't talk. Good. Campaign playthrough. There's no way. If they do that, I'm gonna be floored. But no, there's no freaking way.
The interesting thing about Into the Light is they're also saying that the aim is to bring in new players as well. And I'm dying to know how they're gonna do that.
You and me both.
Like, I thought that was interesting that that's one of the bullet points for
Into the Light. No, like Shadow. If you guys watch Shadow Destiny, if you've watched Destiny videos, you've probably seen one of his. We had him on the show. He's literally like got a friend. He's Shadow playing through a brand new person in, just kind of like Travis had his buddies, but he's working on a video for it as well. Just what the experience is like between the pop-ups and the confusion. And then I think Jez had his wife play. He usually does comedy stuff, and he had her play, and she played for like 2 days. You know, she doesn't game, so she was struggling with a whole bunch of different stuff, just even video game stuff that we naturally figure out. It was like the third day, all of a sudden had pop-ups about abilities and other stuff came in on the third day of playing. It is just not a streamlined experience. The Jez video is like an hour long, but it is hilarious, but also points out so many things that are wrong. Like so many things that doesn't tell you. If you're not a gamer, first off, but if you don't just have somebody guiding you through, there's so much the game doesn't tell you, but it is quite funny to listen to.
Yeah. The new player experience is just so funny. So, I mean, again, kudos for them to even acknowledge an attempt. So we'll see how that works out for them.
I got to know what they're going to do. Cause
yeah,
I don't know. You would need to make a fresh account, but you need fresh eyes on it. That's why a couple of these experiments that people are doing are important, because if you don't have fresh eyes, we all know way too much. You can't be like, well, you didn't tell me this here. You didn't tell me this here. There's stuff that we wouldn't even think about. We don't know. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
On top of the fact that you don't know what's happening in the story.
Yes, that too.
And then I think Bife put out a video. He was saying it's like they really need to work on the story for Final Shape, keeping the story around from this entire year. The fact that Lightfall.
I wonder why he says that.
No reason. Yeah,
you got a good video. You got a good video about that one. Mm-hmm.
Wonder what his issue is.
I am curious, though, because, I mean, yeah, we'll get a pop for Guardian Games. You got a hoverboard. You're going to get a few people in, for sure. But then that'll slide off pretty fast as soon as people kind of get their hoverboard, get a couple weapon drops, and get out. Go through this month, you'll have probably one more Iron Banner. We'll see what Into the Light is.
Right,
it was April, kind of, I was like, it was kind of thrown on them, so that's why my expectations are real low. I mean, Guardian Games had a little planning. This probably had less. So whatever they can kind of hamstring together, we'll see. And then it's going to be April and May of whatever Into the Light is to get us into Final Shape, which will be supposedly still June 4th. Mm-hmm. And then if they keep their schedule, it's 2 weeks later. They were saying after 2 weeks or whatever, they were going to drop the first episode. Gives them a chance to drop the raid on day 11 or whatever and do that. And you'll have the Lightfall campaign for 2 weeks. And then the first episode that is after the events of Final Shape. And the 3 days after that, everybody's going to leave and go play Shadow of the Erdtree.
Yeah, they got a lot riding in. I mean, look, you know, I'll give them a little credit for this right now. Look, slight peak of interest, but it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot. They're going to have to be the most creative they've ever been to try to garner engagement. And then, of course, nail, Final Shape. But I am curious. I'm just curious about what the hell could they come up with Into the Light in a 6 month window. I'm very serious, like curious what that that content is.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, so Guardian Games, you got Supremacy, strike scoring. Mm-hmm. Nobody understands how to get the strike scoring. You got medallions. Mm-hmm. Oh, one of the best things you can do if you really don't want to think about, if you like have a podcast or a series you want to episode and kind of like brainless it, get the raid, but it's also / dungeon medallion. And it's just killing enemies in a raid or dungeon. If you complete encounters, it's better. Go set up Grasp of Avarice. You know exactly what I'm saying. Baby. And you can just sit there and plink them from far away with a scout rifle or something. And then I didn't time it, but not that bad. Now, granted, I will tell you, I soloed Prophecy, however long it took me to do it while I was on stream. Being as you're killing and doing encounters, I like finished an encounter, killed a few guys, and then I went to go get another medallion, which you can get your medallions on. Like, they're basically bounties. You can get them through the app, yeah. So you can use it on your phone, yep. So you don't have to go back. But yeah, I went through there, and I finished it 3 times in my one run. So that actually wasn't bad. So 3 platinums just from one Prophecy run. Right. Now, granted, that's because I was killing everything, so I got all the kills.
Yeah, I got to remember to go in there solo just to maximize it.
But yeah, Grasp, if you don't want to think about it, just sit there and shoot until you're done. It's going to be kind of quick.
Nice.
Do your chores.
Chores. Yes, yep. that would feel like a chore. Activity,
mindlessly shoot until you complete the activity.
Yeah, shoot into the loot cave.
To the cave, baby.
Speaking of loot caves, Travis, didn't that come up with you recently?
It did. I wanted to give a shout out. So, for those who don't know, listeners, dear listeners, I have 2 full-time jobs. And my other job is I work at small tech startups and I help them grow. And then when they get like 30 or 40 employees, I leave because I don't like working for large companies. Sometimes people try to sell me things. And a lot of times when they try to sell me things, they go to my LinkedIn and they see that I do IGN work. And so their way of selling me is sometimes they'll try to sell me something by referencing video games. And sometimes you can tell that they play video games because they'll be pretty hard in the paint. And other times they'll just be like, you know what else is a game? Is, you know, and like they'll try to like tie it together. They're trying to sell me. But I got a message recently that I thought was very funny on LinkedIn from a guy named Eric. And the title of the message was The Loot Cave, Gjallarhorn, and Pipeline. And the message reads, "Hey, Travis, doing my research on your company, and I came across your LinkedIn and socials and saw you're an IGN contributor and a Destiny 2 junkie. Think of your website like the Loot Cave. Real OGs know. There is a ton of potential leads to farm if your marketers always have their sights on who's visiting. You need something OP like the Gjallarhorn to capture high value prospects into your pipeline." And it goes on, but basically this guy is a Destiny player and he used his honestly pretty impressive Destiny knowledge to try to sell me his lead generation it made me laugh, and I thought I would share it because I get messages like this pretty often, but this one just hit at the right time. I got it today right before we were about to do the show, and I was like, you know what? I should read this because it's kind of hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, they really put some effort into it, and I did respond to this guy
because
of his research. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to talk to this guy, see what's up.
He's hardcore. He OG with it. Salute.
Thank you for letting me share that, Ivantis. But yeah, that one tickled me because it's just the metaphor is very funny.
Very good.
No, he leaned into it hard. That's why I wanted you to share it. Because
he also positioned his product or his company as the Gjallarhorn of lead generation, which is, you know,
if you're gonna sell, you're going for the top.
Claim. Certainly a claim, guys.
Certainly a claim.
Gotta respect it.
Yeah, that's good.
Funny. I love it. Boy, shot it, man, shot it, shot. You gotta respect it. Eddie, he did his research.
Yeah, if anybody's ever done sales for any ever reason in their entire life, I was like, I respect that one. Mm-hmm. Like, I did telemarketing for one summer. Oof. Oof. Brutal. Like, no, it was business to business. Thank God it wasn't consumer. And it still wasn't great, but it was at least, like, something that didn't totally suck. It was, like, long distance for business customers, but at the time, it actually was a reasonable deal. And the other side of, like, the cubicle room, they were selling cell phone service that was so, like, patchy on the map, it was just awful. But on the business one, it's just, like, long distance, that was a reasonable deal. So it was, like, I did okay. But, man, if I was trying to sell something that was just a piece of crap, nah, I could never. Yeah. I would be so bad at trying to sell trash.
That's rough.
Mm-mm-mm. I don't know. You try to get people to play Destiny.
We go telemarketing now.
I actually... So, like, there was a point... I mean, granted, here you go for your... you guys give me the whole Texas upbringing privileged lifestyle here, because...
I'm very excited.
No, no. This is one of those... you guys give me crap all the time, but I can't say anything because I very much had a sheltered upbringing. No question. But in our neighborhood, like in our, whatever it was, middle school or something like that, I can't remember. It's like, here's like a pamphlet of a bunch of different goods that you can sell. And the more of them you can sell, you know, you would get like prizes for doing that type of stuff. So like kind of like...
I'm familiar.
Yeah. Very but I was familiar. Like, so I walked around our neighborhood though. And that was one where it's like, I was bound and determined to win this thing. And I was like going every house to house. I covered way too much ground. I ended up actually winning the whole thing whenever I did it. But
I can see this.
Yeah, I was
bound. Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Actually.
Look like, at you, dude. That's great. How many guns did you get pointed at you during this door-to-door knocking job?
So in the world of sheltered area that I did live at the time, it was not really a big risk in this area. So, so I had a pretty easy... Yeah. Pretty easy.
Also,
going.
You're older. I feel like it wasn't as bad back then. That's too bad.
Yeah, it was a different time, different place. No, if I like, I kind of explained the area of where it is, you would be like, oh, yeah, you'd be fine.
That's funny.
That, by the way, that isn't that bad of a sheltered upbringing. I feel like everybody had to do that. I did the door.
No, I just mean the city I grew up in was. So the city I grew up in. As it was, you know, they were developing and using all the different pieces of the town, and there's like one main highway, and now it looks completely different. There was a Walmart within the city limits, and it was just like towards the front as you got towards the highway. At some point, they kicked the Walmart out of the town. Now, Walmart, in amazing fashion, which I found hilarious. So here's the city. Here's the next city. They put it right on the border. So like, if you still want to get your stuff, you can come here, but we're going to pay our taxes to this other city as opposed to you. Right. And I was like, y'all are idiots. Yeah. So yeah, that was the type of city I grew up in. So.
Yeah, Walmart has been banned from San Francisco for many years.
Really?
Because of their labor practices. Yeah. But yeah, I was expecting something way worse, though, when you said, speaking of my sheltered childhood, I thought you were going to be like, I remember as a child, I would come home and the silver hadn't been polished before dinner.
Okay, I will tell you, I did not have that kind of upbringing. There's a difference. Like, I had a sheltered, like, I didn't have to, like, worry about a whole lot of anything growing up. It's like, I can tell you that. I did not have that.
Have you ever had royalty upbringing? Have you ever had to use an unpolished fork for dinner? You don't understand my troubles, my tribulations.
The tribulations. The voice fits too, but that is not okay. So I'm in between, like, not great and that. I'm somewhere in the middle. How's that?
In the middle. Okay. Yeah. You're not there.
I'm not quite. Yeah, that's a whole
you
different.
You go look at me, like, will you please pass the jelly? I go get looked at funny in that.
Pardon me, do you have any Grey Poupon?
Grey Poupon? Palama all fruit.
I remember I spent an entire summer with. My maid had gone on holiday.
The nerve, the terror.
I love Teddy. Fork, wasn't he just fed by his personal butler?
Fork, yeah.
I'm done.
My life dullied with the sheen of a spotted butter knife. Thank you, Prescott, the writer. Appreciate the writer coming in there with the proper word usage.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm going to write fan fiction.
I may have a sheltered upbringing, but no posh. Yeah, so I didn't have to worry about too much, but I wasn't like sitting in royalty either. So it's a...
Yeah. No, his father was an oil baron, so it was a different type of posh, you know? It was like...
My father was actually in sales, so it was technology.
He owned
sales.
A NASCAR team. But no, that was, you know.
I would have actually loved to have been a racing growing up, man.
You know,
that would have been
backstories
cool.
For Ian. It's wild.
I always
I am so glad you were like I am okay. Honestly, I would love to have had both of you guys at my wedding when I got married, but I'm also glad you weren't there, Travis, because he would have taken the mic and never let it go. There wasn't even a mic. He just would have stood up.
An impromptu roast session at your wedding.
I do not take the mic unless it's time. We're on a show. This is show business. But if we're like actually at a thing, I've had people be like, Travis, go ahead, roast me. And I've been like, you don't want me to do that. Trust me. Yeah, like, yeah. I will refuse the mic if the situation is not appropriate enough. But do you guys remember the first time you ever had me on this show? I came up with a backstory for E that he was like wearing cowboy boots, leaving a Target or something like that. I can't remember what the thing was. I never put
on a pair of cowboy boots in my life.
Yeah, and I called you Dallas, too. I kept calling you Dallas during that show. I remember that.
You've got more.
And that was the first time I'd ever met E. I'd never interacted with him before.
I was like, hey, this guy's Destiny. Do you want to come on the show? What have I done? What have I done?
I remember that. Hilarious.
Mistakes
I knew
were made.
Odds, but I'd never talked to E before. And I was just like, I'm just going to track this guy on his own show. It'll be good. Yeah. It'll be a good way to network.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Bonding.
Oh my god.
Good times.
Good times. Good times, boys.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay, well, I gotta ask both of you guys, are either of you looking forward to Dragon's Dogma or Rise of the Ronin? Are either of those games for you guys? Both, maybe.
I was gonna review Rise of Ronin, but they put me on the South Park game. So I almost ended up doing that.
IGN, of course, is gonna get access to that one, no question. But I will tell you from the outside perspective, trying to crack the nut that is PlayStation, good luck. It is hard to do, or you are a massive creator.
PlayStation is pretty protective of their review process. So.
The walled garden carries over into other aspects too.
That's true. That's
very true.
Yeah, they. So I was going to review that, but that honestly, that one doesn't strike me that much, just because I like Souls likes, but I'm kind of over the samurai thing. We've just seen it so many times. And also, we've also seen Samurai Souls-likes not that long ago. You know what I mean? Like,
Ghost of Tsushima set the bar high. Now that PC port's coming out from Nixus, that's going to look pretty. I will tell you guys the one piece of like...
I don't think they set the bar, by the way. I think they're still behind the bar of Sekiro, but...
Oh, well, Sekiro, too.
Which is yet another samurai-like Souls-like.
Different,
Ghost of Tsushima, I don't consider it a Souls-like, though, right? You consider it a Souls-like?
It's kind of Souls-like-y.
I mean, when you put it on...
If I beat it, it ain't no Souls.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, I played it on Brutal, which I actually loved, by the way. It was punishing.
Yeah, you did play it on Brutal. Yeah.
Like, Brutal was fun, but also, like, if you have a sword and you go, shing, dude's dead, as he should be. Not just like, here's a spongy health guy with a big sword that I'm wailing away at his organs. It's like, no, one, done. But also, it's risky for you. But I actually love that difficulty on Ghost of Tsushima. I never played the expansion, Iki, I think it was.
Yeah, Iki Island.
But no, that one. The one
Dragon's Dogma, definitely, though.
Dragons looks massive. It looks like that game you could spend 100 hours in just... Because some of the stuff I've seen, like IG and you guys have had some coverage, and I've seen one or two, where the people are just playing along, they're hanging out at their camp, all of a sudden a big griffin comes down in the middle of your sleeping... And then you got to start attacking them. And then there's two ogres that come over and they get in the middle of the fight. And then the ogres are fighting the griffin. You're like, you're standing there watching going, they're all bigger than me, but I can at least watch them wail the crap out of each other. It's like, it looks really, really cool. I didn't play the first one, but the whole pawn system, trading the experiences, like they go off and help other people and they bring that experience and knowledge back. I really, really, really want to play that one. Like, every time I see more in that game, I'm like, I want to play it. And some of the subclasses, like the Mystic Spear Hand or the Mystic Archer, look so cool. Like, that game is a 100-hour game, probably, for me. I feel like it's that big.
Easily. It'll probably be easily 100 hours.
That's my worry, though, is depending on... Cross your fingers if I can try and play that one early to try and do coverage and guides and stuff.
That one should be easier.
I mean, I've reached out where I can, so everybody just cross your fingers because I've thrown my hat in every ring possible that I can in that world, so I'm trying. My hope, because it's so much bigger, to play that one early, because then actually I think Ronin would be a good one to stream. That would, because I feel like one could play before, work on guides and builds and that stuff, and the other one would be a good streaming one, and then I could kind of work on content as I play it live. That's my hope. If I get neither and I'm playing them both live, I'm starting with Dragon's Dogma. I think I have to.
Dogma, yeah.
It looks so cool. It just... I don't know. I know the old one is not a big, like sell or anything, but kind of turned into a cult thing that I've heard. Yeah, most people really like it.
So he is down for both of these games. I'm more down for one than the other. How about you, Doug?
Where are you landing?
I hope he's like, I'm not down for either.
I think Ronan and I might have sold you on once or twice, actually.
Ronan got my attention, but it just, again, so I was like,
okay, here's the thing on Ronan. Remember I told you got difficulty options in Ronan, which they haven't done before.
Yeah, but I feel like it's sacrilegious for me to put the difficulty down on a Souls-like game.
I leave
it at its default difficulty.
I have a different respect for that after playing Prince of Persia. The way they had the choice of how to do the sliders in that one. And it was, I liked the variability of what you could do, but it was when you go on normal difficulty and then when you went to one above, I didn't go all the way to immortal, but if you go one above, it was the damage to you was the same, but I think the enemy health was a little more, and then you didn't get your abilities back quite as fast. So it was a little bit of a balance. You could go, you could punish the crap out of yourself if you wanted to, but you could also make it to where certain things were more advantageous in your way. I really actually love the difficulty system in Prince of Persia. I am kind of sad that game got lost in Pal World and a couple of other things because I saw it got like 300,000 sales, which is not small, people but it's like not. It was so much better. It was so much better than it got the recognition for. It was really, really good.
So many games right now. No, I hear you. I guess for me, you know, the difficulty thing, I always like to respect the developer's initial intention.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm being extra to alter it a little bit.
But I mean, in your sake, if you want to experience, you'd love that world.
Yes, I do love the world.
So if you want to experience the story, have some fun with the combat and adventure and, you know, all of that area, I feel like they give you the option.
Yeah, I got my eye on it. Don't get me wrong. It's one of those things that I got to see how the reviews do. As we get closer, then schedule-wise, if it fits, I might. But I don't want to overcommit. Like, yes, I'm definitely doing it.
Is Dragon's Dogma talking to you?
That has my eye. Maddie really sold me on that. I like the mechanics, the way he told me the first game was. And he just said, you know, obviously it's a bit janky, you know, as far as going back to it now. But I remember when I first saw Dragon Dogma 2, it had that look like, oh, you got potential that you could be something special this year. If I have my eye, now that we see in the...
Just believe in yourself.
Yeah, my gut feels like that might be the big game of the year. Like, that may be one of them, right? So
it's going to be, for sure. Yeah, it'll get nominated.
My gut was right, because your guys' coverage, everyone's coverage is like, yo, it's one of them. So now I'm like, okay.
It's also very interesting in that it's the sequel to a game that was extremely good, but very underrated for some reason. I feel like it didn't sell well. I don't know a lot of people that played it. It kind of reminds me of the original Borderlands versus Borderlands 2. I think this is going to be their Borderlands 2 moment.
And yeah, I'm in this Capcom bag lately too. So yeah, I'm in.
And I guess you should start playing the Ace Attorney games.
Yo, I started, get the funny thing, I was about to start it and I was scolded by Maddie. How dare I play those, be interested unless you play Danganronpa, which is the superior game. So I was
Danganronpa is way worse.
I need you to tell him that. I need to record this.
I will tell him that. Danganronpa is way worse and I can explain why.
Way worse than what?
This is the drama.
Than Ace Attorney.
Oh.
Bro.
It's like not even close.
Bro, we need to have Maddie on just because I want to sit here with the popcorn.
Bro, this is how it all started, Trav. It was a Nintendo Direct, right? We're just reviewing it. And I'm like, yo, there was this game called Ace Attorney. It looked really, really cool. And the guy, you know, objection. I was like, oh, that looked fun. It looked like a lawyer game, something I would be interested in checking out. Just the art style looked cool. Oh, I can't believe you. And I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, that is, no one, you know, should even resort to that. But he kind of, how can I want to frame him correctly. It was kind of like, oh, the casuals know about that, but the real ones play Danganronpa. That's how he sold it to me. And he was like, don't disrespect yourself by even attempting to play Ace Attorney. And I was literally forced to play this game for Divided Duke.
First of all,
all right,
Danganronpa wouldn't exist without Ace Attorney. It's so based off of Ace Attorney that they actually directly reference it in the games. So it's like, if you're going to stand on the shoulders of giants and then look at those giants and be like, oh, they ain't shit. It's going to be like, all right, well, remember whose shoulders you're standing on, bitch. That's what I said to that one. And when it comes to localization and writing, the localization and writing in Ace Attorney is, I think it's probably the best localized game ever to come out of Japan. It's so good that, in fact, people who are in Japan and speak Japanese as their native language prefer the English version a lot of times because they had to make changes to the world building to make some of the stuff make sense in the backstory, and it takes place in LA canonically and all that stuff. That it actually ends up being like benefiting from it. I don't know who does the localization for that team, but they should do like everything, because it even makes stuff like Infinite Wealth, which I love, but it make a lot of the localization needs work in that game. They have like it's like really overwritten. It has stuff like that, which there's some of that in Ace Attorney, but it's nowhere near that level. And then just in terms of like a story that makes sense and doesn't do like random ass pulls, like everything that happens in Ace Attorney.
Phrase. Sorry.
Random ass. Yeah. You've never heard that? Ass pull. Like you pulled it out of your ass.
That phrase like I've heard. The other one I hadn't. That's all.
The twists that happen in Danganronpa are so out of pocket and so unearned that they make you, they're just as likely to make you roll your eyes and like scoff as they are to make you like impressed that they pulled off that twist. Like a lot of them are just like, oh, come on. Are you joking? Really? Like, it's like stuff like that. But when you get to the twists in Ace Attorney, you're like, oh, that's clever. I didn't see that coming, but they totally set it up. They do a lot of better foundational setup.
I think it's still in Game Pass. And I think I'm up next week, E, for Game Pass Pick of the Week. I think I'm going to start
Ace Attorney.
I'm going to make it my Game Pass Pick of the Week.
Yeah, it just means Travis is going to be on Duke with you the following week. That's all that means.
I'll show up. Show up to defend Ace Attorney. I get why people like Danganronpa, because it's edgier and darker, and it's kind of like the, oh, you know, fewer people know about it, so it must be cooler. It's like, okay, in some cases, the other game is more popular because it is just a better game.
Lava Star Trouble. Capcom Butters. Okay, Capcom Butters. Yeah.
That's going to be fun to hear about.
Yeah, the original trilogy is great, Cog, but it is a little bit slow, and it has, especially 2 and 3, they have some gameplay decisions that are a little weird, but once you get through those games, which are completely enjoyable even with their flaws, the new ones they cut through all the garbage and really focus in on story, and they fix a lot of the kind of annoyances of the old games, and for my money the Ace Attorney series is one of maybe the best story in gaming, in my opinion, the best ongoing story. It's so good. I've been wanting to hear what happens next for a really long time. And if you do need to be sold on the games for the writing before you play any of the Ace Attorney games, you could actually play his game, the creator's game, right before Ace Attorney, which is also on Game Pass. It's called Ghost Trick. Ghost Trick. And that game you can beat in like 2 or 3 hours, probably. Maybe I'm overselling that. It might be a little bit longer, but it's like a puzzle game you can beat pretty quick. And that story is so well written and good and full of surprises and really memorable moments that if that game jives with you, then I can say, all right, well, then invest in all of the Ace Attorney games, because they're absolutely worth it. Ghost Trick just got Teddy's saying in the comments, it just got kind of remastered on modern consoles. So
nice.
Absolutely worth checking that one out.
I'll check them out. I'm gonna start Trouble next week. I'm gonna play them.
Oh, somebody's saying Ace Attorney is nothing on the payoff of Danganronpa V3.
Oh, yeah, Danganronpa gang.
I think he's confusing payoff with, you know, the kind of M. Night Shyamalan-esque twists, which I will admit the twists in Danganronpa are bigger. I just don't think that they're earned.
Okay.
To be honest. You have to spend a lot of time in like the pessimistic kind of edgelordian world of Danganronpa that is
very that sounds depressing. Like Maddie's world though. That does.
It's very like depressing. Him. It's like very depressing, and like, oh, society's messed up, so maybe a bunch of kids killing each other really isn't so bad. And it's like, all right, dude, come on. Whereas Ace Attorney is like shamelessly wholesome as hell. Like, it's just very wholesome, and it deals with death, and there's murders and betrayals and stuff, but like, it's about friendship. It's like a typical anime, you know, story.
I can't
Speaking
wait.
Of Thank twists, I was going to ask you guys, I don't know why it made me think of it, because you're saying Attorney and everything else that happened. Have you guys ever seen the movie Fracture? It's Ryan Gosling and Anthony Hopkins.
Okay.
Watch it
Those
sometime.
Are both cool dudes.
Yeah. You got Rosamund Pike in there as well. Go watch it. It's an for a twist, I thought it was good. And Anthony Hopkins is always just damn good. But Fractures...
Reliable.
Yeah, Fracture was a good movie. And it's just kind of one of those... I don't want to say too much because you got to watch it, but if you can find... I don't even know if it's streaming anywhere. It's so old at this point, but...
Gosling. Okay, 2007. All right. Mm-hmm. We'll check it out.
2007. For some reason, the aughts were like the year people really started doing like twists a lot in their movies. Like I think from like 98 to like the through the aughts, there were like really twist heavy movies. You ever notice that? And then they kind of died off, and now it's really just about like action and hugging people.
Direction for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of 2007, actually, like I don't think I ever finished it before, but I finally watched Sunshine. I forgot the cast in that movie is like kind of stacked. Because you got
Sunshine and Spotless Mind.
No, just Sunshine. It's a sci-fi one where they're trying to. It's like a sci-fi end of the world thing where they're trying to restart the sun. It's kind of a ridiculous premise if you think about it. But the actors in there are there's just quite a few of them. It's got Wong from Doctor Strange. He's in there, and it's like 17 years ago, so all these guys are a lot thinner and stuff. It's got Chris Evans in there. Michelle Yeoh's in there. I mean, I know I'm forgetting people too. Quite a few, but Cillian Murphy's in there after just watching some stuff.
You know, a movie's old when you're measuring its date by like people's body changes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, it's weird because I saw Wong in Doctor Strange, he's a little bigger, like he's filled out a bit, like as he's aged. But in this one, man, dude is not. He is like he's leaner. I don't know if he's yoked in this one, but. No, he was leaner, but no, it's just, I was like, damn, forgot all those people were just, it's funny to find those movies. You ever watch an older movie and be like, all of you are doing different, like famous things now, but you kind of had an earlier start. And earlier you catch start, them before,
yeah, to kind of see them like catch them before group. They grew up.
Yeah, those are always fun to find. I feel like I'm missing Rose Byrne. Yeah, like that, that's like another
those commercials for the Street Shark action figures that Vin Diesel did. Have you guys seen those?
Not that's hilarious. Sounds hilarious.
Oh, you guys should watch them. There's like these videos of Vin Diesel playing with Street Shark characters and just talking about how cool the Street Sharks are. And it's like,
now I finally figured out why I crossed this path because it's got Hiroyuki Sanada, the guy in Shogun.
Not it.
I want to watch Shogun. Seth, I have not started it yet. I need to.
Seth says Street Shark was the best.
He's right. So Seth, you're on the money. Street Sharks. That theme song, dude. Goated. Go to theme song.
Street Shark. I would check this out.
Sunday morning cartoons, man. Gotta get your Street Shark in.
We had different Teddy cartoons Shark. Growing up. Shogun is very good. That's I've only heard amazing stuff about it. I figured I thought you might have watched it by now. Mm. Yeah, I need to. That's when I gotta take my time, go upstairs, watch on the OLED with the lights off. I want the good viewing. I feel like we fell off the gaming podcast rails for my bad, yeah, by the way, time. Totally my
definitely
bad.
Off of the Destiny podcast rails a while ago.
I mean,
it's okay
at this point. Yeah. Guardian games will hang out, but I mean, next week is still going to be the
same. Not a ton.
I mean, there
it's
was
still
a
gonna be, it's still going to be slow until Final Shape. I was think. Like, there even, was a twin. Even after Into the Light.
But we talked about it because we talked about Guardian games. That's everything that was in there. Covered
everything. Every time they have an event, that's their entire twid.
Yeah.
Wob.
But they even went over like, hey, you can collect the cards in the app. They even tweeted today about the whole emote finisher thing. They tweeted about the emote finisher thing. And I'm like, that's still
a lot of y'all
not
don't
enough.
Seem to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't tell them and it's not obvious. And it's something we've never done any other time in the game. And I will say the annoying part about that is maybe something else after 3 years. Yeah. Another way to get like score the points or something. I don't know.
Oh, oh. You're preaching to the choir here.
Give, me a different way to get medals besides the insult to injury emote and then finish. I'm like, I've been doing this for years. Come on. It's like,
I know. One day we're getting there slowly. We got hoverboards though. We got skimmers.
Hoverboards are legit. I skipped the entire special section in Prophecy. I earned my, that's why I'm here. I earned my one. I don't have to buy one.
Nice.
That's all. That's why I'm here.
I'm impressed with myself that I've stayed strong and didn't just straight buy it just yet. Very impressed.
How long is that going to last?
The only reason you don't buy it right off the bat is because they give you a temporary one until you earn your full, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Because it lasts to the end of Guardian Games.
The event. Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
And then you get to keep it if you... And the fact that they sold one means that they can't take it out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Which is the commitment to this playstyle. That's why I'm surprised. This is a very game-breaking kind of thing.
Very surprising. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. What if any philosophy changes are happening?
Yeah, it looks like the previews are going out for Rise of the Ronin. Have fun, everybody. Enjoy.
I'm not jealous.
I'm 100% jealous, but still have fun. Bro, I'll be honest, man. I was like, I know that PlayStation. I know that's PlayStation bubble's hard to get into. Yeah, it's like, I get it.
Bro, I literally felt that way as a person who's playing Tekken for 30 years.
Oh, no, I know. I think you mentioned that one. I'm
seeing content creators get it. Have fun. You're playing the preview version. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, and that's kind of the thing. It's like, no one has ever meant you are not, like, deserving of a code or any of that bullshit. I'm like, I get it. It's like, I can throw my hat in the ring. I'm not big enough. I get it. It's totally fine. Doesn't mean I don't want to play it.
I'll get to it.
It's like, doesn't mean I don't want to play it right now, but that's fine. Especially this early, man. See, this is amazing timing. If you could actually get it early, like March 7th, I'm like, do you know how much time that would be for these two games that are stacked on top of each other? Yeah. Apparently, I got to work my way into an outlet.
We grinding. We're going to be Travis one day. One day, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Do you actually want to work for an outlet, E?
Ooh.
Oh, I mean, I would be.
Is that your final destination? I thought you liked being solo.
Independent?
Would be an interesting discussion to understand, like, the differences, for sure. Like, it would be. Ooh. I'm not against it. It would just, I would be curious how that would make sense with the channel and everything, like, because I know plenty of people still work in games and do channels, but it's also what you can and can't talk about and stuff like that. So just be it would be an interesting one, because do you do this, and if you cover this stuff for us, you can't put it on yours, but you can still do all of your stuff and keep them separate and you're fine. You know, I would be open, but also on the other side,
it's basically like you just can't make personal content with anything, any access that you got from whichever outlet you're from.
Yeah.
So like, if they gave you a code to a game, you couldn't review it on IGN and then also review it on your own account. You'd have to,
Ooh. Thoughts. Ooh.
Send me into this chat when it happens. I have thoughts.
I don't have codes that rise of the Ronin.
Sorry, he spelled thoughts wrong.
There's Midnight down there. Say hi to Midnight, guys.
Oh, here's Midnight. Salute. It's my first time seeing Midnight actually pull up during stream.
Oh, he walks around my desk all the time. So.
Oh, okay.
That's what
I have yet to meet you, sir. I have yet to meet you.
He's our
resident. Nice Xbox.
Yeah.
I like the white ears internally. We're feeling that.
Oh, that's all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
One less now. But
one less now. One less now.
Your dog is goofy looking.
Yep.
Buddy.
The Midnight. Salute.
Long snouted jackal, one and all.
I love it. Where's Enzo?
Enzo's passed out in the other room. He's chill.
Oh, okay.
Still. Yeah.
You have a dog named Enzo?
I do.
I have a friend named Enzo. So.
Oh, okay.
Well, we named the dog Indiana.
Yeah. Shout out to Three Geeks for $5. Hashtag dog noises. Hashtag dog tax.
There you go.
That's a new one.
I think that's supposed to be like Xbox tax. Like, you get taxed because you have dogs. I don't know.
I'm not sure. You're going to have to explain that.
Maybe he lives in a state where there is a tax for owning dogs.
That's one of the reasons my wife and I got a house, because we were looking at apartments to get together.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to get an apartment with any like certain breeds of dogs. You may as well just kiss your butt goodbye. So then we ended up. He's just chilling down here.
Mm-hmm.
He's just hanging.
He's just hanging. Mm-hmm.
Yep. He is shout hilarious.
Shout out to the Midnight.
He does parkour on our couch.
Are you serious? Oh, wow. It's hilarious.
Poor couch.
It's pretty resilient so far. Shout out to the Love Sack, like sectionals couches that you can buy, where you buy all the pieces and then you can kind of rearrange them. They're quite durable, I've learned from him, so I will vouch for their durability. They have held up to quite a bit. No, we got him at like 9 months as a rescue, as opposed to the other ones we got at like 6 weeks, where they were so small they didn't know they could get on a couch, and then we never let them. So Ryan Enzo never got on furniture. First thing he did, boom. And then we're like, get off, and he just kept thinking it was a game, and finally he won.
Wow, so he just purchased?
He just eventually broke. Oh, yeah, I mean, no, I'll walk in there, and he's just... He's just sacked out on the couch.
That's hilarious.
He is the cozy. I mean, I've posted a couple of pics on Twitter. Yeah, but he's the coziest looking dog sometimes.
It's a rough life. He's just
squishy face into the blanket. Yeah, he's
it's a rough life.
We do our best to give him a pretty good life in here, but yeah, he keeps us on our toes and also enjoys screaming in husky fashion. It's fine. The balance.
That one of those?
Not so much like an actual, like, not the stereotypical howl. It's actually much goofier than that. I can't really always... It's goofier.
Can you encourage it? Can you instigate it? Because some dogs, you can, like, if you make sounds while they do that,
we've done
they
it
respond.
A couple times, but they really don't. It's got to be something that gets them to do it, whether it's like, you know, they somehow they can know a dog is walking on the other side of the street out there. They just know it. They'll go bark at the window or whatever and stuff like that. You know, if you can hear a squirrel in our backyard on the fence, they'll go darting out the back door if it's open. But actually, the only thing I can get him to do, because they never do it, like, we'll play, like, tug-of-war a little bit, but if I get kind of up in his face, I can get him to growl a little bit at me. And I was like, dude, that is the cutest growl. And he's like, "Rrr." I'm like, you are adorable, but you're not scary. Yeah.
Training. Gotta train him well.
That is literally the opposite of what I'm doing. He's just, I try and get the growl out of him. He normally won't do it, but
it's
rarely.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Well, he's...
Dogs. We all know about them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We love them.
Well, this podcast, I think, has gone everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still under an hour and 45 minutes right now. So, in proper fashion, anything else to say before we wrap this thing up, gentlemen?
No, nice one. Nice
love
little,
you
know, little respite, little comeback for a second for a nice little event. We know it's going to be slow. We got things to play. But, you know, nice little cool distraction, I thought. And I jump in, jump out, you know, we get ready for the big stuff. But that's all that's going on with me.
Yeah, hoverboard's a W. Try and fix the quality of life over the scoring, since that's like one of your things. And if it's the Hunter Games of 2024, then so be it. All I got.
I'm not ready to accept that yet, but we're going to let that
I gave up. I gave up on the first day when I just saw the ratio. I was like, oh, this is not even close.
This is not even close, but
no,
we're just dealing with it right now.
All right. Well, for episode number 287, you guys know that means we have, what, 13 to go to 300? So a couple months here.
Better start planning.
Gotta start planning something.
It's right around when the new games, when the Final Shape launches.
I have a guest in mind that I already reached out to. I just got to see if it's going to come together. I'll tell you guys after the show who it was. But other than that, thank you guys all. Enjoy your gaming, whatever game you are playing right now, whether it be Destiny, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Pacific Drive, check it out. It's fun. Or little Metroidvanias that are all over the place. I was playing a demo for one called Biomorph. One of these, like, butter smooth demos I've played in a while, but also the concept's kind of cool for a Metroidvania, so kind of a fun one.
Yes.
All right, well,
our guest for the 300th episode should be Destin Legarry, because he's like the angel of death for 300th episodes. You know,
we can have him on for 301, because if we do it at 300, I'm afraid.
No, 300. Let's get him here, and then we know that's going to be the last episode, no matter what happens.
I have questions. I mean, unless you're just trying to be done with the podcast, really, if that's how you want to go out, then, you know, you got to let me know in advance.
It's like being in a hospital bed and seeing John Cena come in. Like, you know, it's over for you if he shows up.
Oh no,
that's not great. All right, well, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure, and for this episode, thank you all for being here. Chat, you guys have been fun. If you listen to us later, review us with 5 stars or thumbs up or whatever you can do on the platforms, and thank you very much. But for this one, it has been
The Last Word.